Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today to talk to you about some wonderful ideas. I want to talk about navigating life's big issues and changes. You know, when transition comes to our life, sometimes it's tough. My friend Lee Kimball is not in the studio today. So I've asked another friend to sit in and co-host with me. And Nancy D'Amico, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so glad to have you here. I thought you'd be good to talk to about this because you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a worker, you've had a lot of different experiences, and I know you've navigated a lot of life's big changes, and I thought it would be a good conversation. What do you think?
I think that's good.
And I hope it's going to help somebody listening today. Maybe you're listening and you're going through something yourself right now, and you're thinking, you know, every once in a while something happens in my life, and I think, God, are you crazy? Did you really think I could handle this right now? You know, I mean, I know you're not supposed to give me more than I can handle, but I am struggling with this one. Do you ever get that?
Yes,
way?
I do.
It's something, isn't it?
Yeah. Until I get past it.
Until you get past it. And then you say, oh, thank you, God, for letting me get through. Yeah. Well, big things happen in life, and how we respond to the changes can really make or break our happiness quotient. You know, it can write the letter of how we live.
Right.
Yeah. And some of us get lost when we're called to navigate big issues and changes. We get caught up. Some of the things I think of that happen to people, I think denial.
Yeah.
I think denial, complaint. They just get pissy about it and they just keep complaining about it. Or even angry. Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. This is happening now? And I've gone through all three of those things. How about you?
I have too. It's just, I'm not really happy with change. And change is what's going to always happen. So,
yeah. You know, I have a lovely woman that invested a lot in me when I was younger. Her name was Jean Sirianni. She's a local Vero Beach. Well, she's not from Vero Beach. She was from Wisconsin originally. But she was a snowbird down here. And I got to meet her. And it was funny because I was younger. And I got to meet her and I thought, I wonder why this woman is so attractive to me. And I found out she had 11 children.
Oh my God.
And I'm one of 10.
Right.
So there was something comfortable about that. You know, I couldn't shock her with any of the stories of my family or anything like that. She just really got it. But she used to tell me all the time, you know, Beth, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And I hated that.
Oh, I know.
I was like, what a terrible thing to tell me, Jean. If nothing changes, nothing changes. But, you know, we get caught up in these things and, you know, maybe denial or complaint or anger, they can even be a normal initial response. But some of us get caught there and we can't go on from there. So what do you talk, when you say what denial is, how would you describe it to somebody if they're listening and they're saying, what do they mean denial?
Denial is that the changes need to be made and that, I just want to hang on to what is now. I don't want to go further.
So you're just saying, no, it's not, we're not doing that.
Right.
We're not doing that. I'm in denial. I'm not.
Fighting against it.
Okay.
Fighting against it.
Somebody had given me an acronym for that, and I'm so, OCD that they put a K in the wrong place. They put K before the N. But they said, don't even know I am lying. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you're saying something, but it's not really what's going on. You're, like, denying what's really happening.
Exactly.
And that can be tough.
Yes.
That can be tough for people. So, and then complaint is pretty simple. We all know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever just complained about something?
Yeah. And, you know, it didn't change what was going on. You know, I spent a lot of energy and saying, oh, I'm not going this way. I'm, you know,
this isn't for me.
And I'm hanging on to things, you know, with my fingernails. I'm just, trying to dig in.
Or you're looking at the past, like, after all I did.
Yes.
And I did this and that and the other thing. And after all I did and blah, blah, blah. But no, it doesn't always work. And then, of course, the last one's anger.
Yes.
And most everybody that listens to our show knows about anger because we talk about it here and there. Because dealing with anger is part of getting through life successfully. Anger is a normal emotion. It's going to come, and you have to know how to deal with it. You have to know certain things about yourself. Some of you listening might be thinking, what does she mean, certain things? Like, for me, I shouldn't say anything at first. I should just kind of keep quiet until I move through the anger and into a new emotion or a better emotion. Give it a little, you know, some people say count to 10 before you say something.
Right.
But my first responses might be hurtful to people.
Yes.
And that's not what I'm meaning. It's just, that's just a reaction. It's not even what I really think. It's just like a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. I think with me, I really didn't feel like I dealt with anger. And so I would turn it inward, and I would like crawl up like a snail and just, you know, take myself away from...
Kind of hide out.
Yeah. And, you know, just be alone and, you know.
Yeah.
And the reality was that caused a lot of depression.
Right, right.
Because
anger turned inward becomes depression.
Right.
Yeah.
And learning that I didn't have to go there or I didn't have to stay there as long as I used to, that was a gift because,
right.
You know, it's change your mind, do something for somebody else, you know, change the thought, make a move, do something.
Yeah.
You know, but take some action. And, you know, that helps with the depression. It helps you get past that. I think about my problems, and I think about, somebody told me years ago that if your problems were your keys and you threw them all, and everybody threw them in the middle of the room, you'd always go for your own problems.
Right, yeah. You'd fight to get your own back.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I think that's the reality is, if you're up against the wall, maybe you've lost a loved one, or you lost a job, or maybe your health is suffering, or the health of someone you love, or... maybe you're just feeling hopeless, like, oh, nothing's happening in my life anymore. I'm not important. Or maybe you don't have a sense of direction, like, I'm not sure where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, these can be times that that you need to really navigate these challenges, because it's how we get through life. It's how we deal with some of this painful stuff that creates the life that we have now.
Yeah, I take a lot of joy in my aging, because I find that, you know, I have something to look back at. I have a history of getting through things and coming out the other side, and everything, you know, all the things that I thought were tragedies in my life, I turned around and saw that they were really gifts, because they helped me grow, and the changes wound up better than, you know, I would have expected.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think an important part of it. Is to know that's the first thing I wrote down. I'm trying to write different ways to navigate, you know, and why to navigate. And the first one I wrote down was welcome the growth opportunity. You know, and a lot of people say, you know, oh, great, another growth opportunity, just what I was hoping for.
Right.
But when I look back, I'm blessed enough to be in the middle of my life. And as I look back, some of the things that were really hard for me are the very things I built my life on. The things that... could have taken me out, or could have ended, you know, my life, or could have, those are the things that I've been able to build a good life upon.
Mm-hmm.
Not by myself, of course, but still, that's where I started. Could the difficulty that you're facing become a gift if you face it correctly?
Right. My son had twin boys, and they were born too early, and there were a lot of difficulties with them, and, you know, and then we were told that the both boys were blind, and, I mean, I was so upset, I wanted to curse God, I was just so
right.
angry about it, and, you know, and what you said is true, you know, you don't say your first words, you know,
right.
And I went up to the hospital, and the babies were in this NICU, and they were the tiniest things that I had ever seen in my life, you know, they looked like little birds, they were just... legs and arms, and they were like a pound, 7 ounces each.
Wow.
And, you know, I prayed that they would survive, and I had other people praying for them to survive. And my anger dissipated as I saw these boys grow, and as, you know, what gifts they really were, and how they, you know, they knew what they needed, and they responded in kind. They were amazing little boys. They are amazing little boys.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of difficulties, but, you know, I look at them and I say, what a gift we got. You know,
yeah.
we got to learn that people can survive through the difficulties in life. And, you know, and sometimes they still have a lot of problems, but, you know, I think to myself that, you know, God saved them for a good reason.
Right.
And part of the reason, I guess it's selfish in me, that the reason is that I can look at them and I can see the joys that I you know, the difficulties of them not seeing. To begin with, I thought, oh my God, you know, trivial things like, how am I going to take them to Disneyland? They're not going to see this. And, you know, and I mean, they were infants at that time. Right. And of course, I wasn't going to be bringing them to Disneyland. But, you know, I projected, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. And I tried to stay strong for my son and my daughter-in-law because I knew that they were, you know, struggling with this even more than I.
Right.
And, you know, I got, you know, getting through that and my children getting through that, it was amazing, you know, because coming out the other side, these little boys, they're 10 years old now, and they are amazing little children. They, you know, they're growing and they're, you know.
Well, I've been blessed on Facebook. I'm a friend of yours on Facebook, and I've seen the video of them playing that music,
yes.
Musically inclined. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to see that.
Yes. One is a musician. He makes his own songs up. He's gotten bored with the songs being played forwards, so he plays them backwards, and he sings them backwards, and he plays them on the piano backwards.
And it's, you know. And it's just he's able to do it.
Yeah. I can't even play the piano frontwards, you know.
So that's pretty fun.
And the other one's a computer whiz.
Yeah.
And, you know, he sees some. He has one eye, and he sees some out of the one eye with glasses. And he, you know, he just plays on the computer. And, you know, I have to ask him, for, you know, to get onto something.
Hand him your iPhone to fix it for you. Yeah, I know. I know how it is. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're going to talk today about navigating our way through the difficult issues and the big issues and some of the just the little transitions, whatever it is. But there's things that we trip over in life, and we've all been there, but there's ways around it. We want you to find those ways, and we want you to know you're not alone. If you're one of the ones holed up listening to the radio today and thinking, oh, she's always talking to me when she talks about this stuff, stay with us today because we might come up with something that will help you. We're going to take a short little break, and we'll be right back. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson. I'm in the studio today with my friend Nancy D'Amico, and we're talking to you about navigating your way through the big issues and changes in life. And, you know, sometimes we just have to go through them. And we have to kind of get to a place of acceptance. And that's the first thing I talked about. And I wrote down a couple of notes to myself. Welcome the growth opportunity. And, you know, growth opportunities aren't usually welcome.
No.
No. People aren't really looking for that. You know, how can this negative thing become a gift? And in the most challenging moments, sometimes if I can look at that, I can find my way because my first thought in a negative time or in a time of challenge or tumult is to resist. And that's not where I should be. I need to get to accept. From resistance to acceptance, that can be a big journey for me.
Yeah.
And it's tough, and it can be tough. But it starts, your first initial response is just like that first initial response if you're angry. If you don't say what's on your mind when you're angry, you'll be blessed for that. You know, you'll be thankful later because you'll say, "Thank goodness I didn't put that out there because that's not really what I meant."
Right.
That's kind of what resistance is. Resistance is like an action, not really what I meant. I didn't mean to resist so fully. I meant to move into acceptance, but I just couldn't get there easily. And I think that resistance kind of blinds me to what's real. And it blinds me to what could be. It blinds me to some of the other wonderful qualities that get brought to me, like hope. You know, in the moment of anxiety or upset, hope is not the first thing on your mind.
Exactly. I've learned to pace myself. You know, I have to go through the process of anger and all of the things that go with it. But even 9/11 was something that really hit me when I looked at the, I was watching television and I saw the second plane hit, and I was like, oh my God, this is awful. My kids live up there and, you know, what's going on? And I thought to myself, I have to find the good in this, because there are no mistakes in God's world. I have to find the good in this. And you know, it was very difficult because, you know, the worry and not knowing, and then you hear, you know, about the in Washington, you know, they got hit, and it was really like a very foggy type of feeling. Like, you know, I think all of us wound up, you know, so upset about it. And I did find good in it. I heard people that wound up going to work late by mistake or didn't wind up in that building, because that was a building that held like 10,000 people between the two buildings. And, you know, I had to face the fact that this was exactly what was supposed to happen. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. But I, you know, I think that we get taken when we're, you know, when we're needed someplace else.
Right.
And so I think that all those people that did pass away, and I, you know, I don't want to sound cruel or anything, but that was the way it was meant to be.
Right.
It was their time.
Well, it was, whether it was meant to be or not meant to be, it was.
Yes.
That's what happened.
And you have to accept what happened.
We have to move with reality, not with what should have been or what could have been.
Right.
Because that doesn't serve. But in that moment, in the first moment when people were kind of, I think everybody was incredulous, like, what? What's going on here? Yeah. What is this? You know, the first one could have been a mistake. The
well, that's what I thought. When I saw the second one come, I thought, oh, no.
Well, this is on purpose. Yeah. And that's hard. It's you know, it's hard to welcome that as a growth opportunity for our nation, for right. example. But it is a growth opportunity.
Yeah, I saw people being nicer to each other, understanding each other. You know, there was and nations that prayed with us and things right. like that, that, you know, opened my eyes to see that, you know, all the positives that we fed into the situation itself. You know, our nation got together and, you know, it was a defining moment in everybody's life.
Yeah. Well, at like a spiritual level, anything that happens in life can be a learning tool. You know, it can be a time for us to grow closer to who we were meant to be, and or grow away from that.
Yes.
Depending on which way we go. And it's hard because if I want to be whole and happy, I have to learn forgiveness. It's hard to learn with 9/11 as the teacher.
Yes.
Or divorce as the teacher. Something so personal, obviously, not against my whole nation, just against me.
Right.
You know, or pick another thing that happens. But it can be hard sometimes to move into that. But your situation is going to affect the rest of your life. And how you grow and learn from it will definitely make your life better or worse.
Yes, exactly. It's how I think that's the thing, is if you begin and let the process happen, you have a better way of getting through it.
Right.
You know, and allow yourself to be angry, but don't open your mouth. But
right.
And allow yourself to grieve, or, you know, I think it's the, you know, that's an important part of our lives. And I it took me ages to get to the point where I recognize that, because if some tragedy happened in my life, it was forever.
Right.
I could not see past it, you know, and today I know that, you know, we have ups and downs. Life is that way, and we have to come to terms with accepting.
Right.
And it's not easy, you know.
Sometimes it helps with time to look back at a time that was really difficult for you and what value has come from that. For some people, for 9/11, there's been value.
Absolutely.
You know, value has come from that. They've come they came back to America. They became Americans again. They had kind of lost their love of their own country. They
right.
had lost maybe they weren't voting. Maybe they weren't, I mean, silly things like that. It might sound trivial, but I'll tell you what, all that matters. All that plays together.
Yes.
And,
well, I think that we're
important.
All connected in various ways, but, you know, we all have this connection, and most of us try to disconnect.
Right.
You know, and this tragedy brought people together. It gave them something to connect with. We're all suffering the pain of the loss.
Right.
You know, all I could think of was, oh, my God, when I go past Manhattan Island, I'm never going to see those Twin Towers again. And my husband was part of building that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a sad time, but it was.
Affected you.
You know, it did have its positives. People were nicer to each other. And you know, we lose that as time goes on. But,
right. It
you know, it gave you a brief glimpse of how we could possibly live all together on this planet.
Right. There's a book out. It's called Duty, and it's written by a man named Robert Gates. And in it, there's a story of a Navy SEAL lieutenant, Jason J. Redman. And this is kind of, he was shot seven times. He's had 20-plus surgeries to try to stay alive, to just keep him going. And what this book showed was this was a real note that was on his hospital door. I'm going to read it because it was pretty cool. And on his hospital room, there was a handwritten sign, and it said this: "Attention to all who enter here. If you're coming in with sorrow or feeling sorry for my wounds, go elsewhere. The wounds I received, I got in a job that I love, doing it for people I love, supporting the freedom of a country I deeply love. I am incredibly tough and will make a full recovery. What is full? That is the utmost physically my body has the ability to recover. Then I will push that about 20% further through sheer mental tenacity. The room you are about to enter is a room of fun, optimism, and intense rapid regrowth. If you're not prepared for that, go elsewhere. Signed, the management."
Wow.
Isn't that heavy?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a heavy little thing. And this Navy SEAL who was hurt, you know, battling for our country, he put this sign on his door to let people know, this is where I'm at, but I'm going to navigate my way through this.
Yes.
I'm going to get through the challenges. I'm going to, and if you're not on board with me, you're not helping me.
Right.
If you're here to boo-hoo or to woe is me or to do those three things we said, deny, complain, or be angry, it's not going to help me.
Right.
I need support.
That's an amazing thing, you know, to be going through that, I'm sure, pain and fear and all that, and then to be able to go past it, you know, even right. when you're in the middle of all of that pain
yeah.
and such, and go past it and say, I'm not going to live in the pity party. You know,
right.
I'm not
right.
going to be part of that.
Right. You know, the book, in case you heard it and you say, oh, I wanted to know the name of the book was called Duty, and it's by Robert Gates. And, you know, we're all called to manage our way through the tough stuff of life, just like this Navy SEAL was. And he found a way to do it by putting a sign on his hospital door. How many people were affected by that? Well, now it's in a book.
Yeah.
So more people are reading it. Now I'm talking about it on a radio show, so more people are affected by it here, too. And some of you will probably go out and get that book and pass it on to someone else, because that's what happens. When you do navigate your way, you help so many others. That's one of the other things. You know, the lessons that you learn are you're healing yourself and you're helping others grow, too.
Right.
You know, the experience may be used to help someone else in the future. Just as there might be somebody right now in your life that's helping you through a tough time, and maybe they went through it in the past, and they kind of know what it's like.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things. Well, like 12-step groups are based on that. Some church groups are based on that. Overcomers groups, depression groups, divorce, widowhood. All these things that people go through, and there's support groups that help that. So
exactly.
So some of those support groups are just for that. So keep it in mind. Keep it in mind because, you know, we are interconnected, and what helps me grow can also help someone else grow. And somebody else already grew through it. And if I look around, I can find somebody that's already been there and can give me some good pointers.
Yes, exactly.
At least that's kind of what it is. Okay, well, we're talking about, you know, challenging issues, big changes, transitions, the things that go bump in the night in our lives. We're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to the news. And when we come back, we're going to have our 5 on 5, 5 things to be grateful for. Stay tuned. We'll be right with you.